going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Tonight is an electrifying night for the Cleveland Browns,
yes,
for
is.
The future of the Browns. Like, if this thing, if they knock it out of the park, right?
Yeah.
We are going to be talking about, obviously, the trade yesterday. We're going to be talking about these picks because 33, 36, 67, 94, and I'm still not entirely sure 33 stays at 33.
Oh! Whoa! Let's bring in the dangerous one, Daryl Ryder, by the way. At the end of this segment, I'm telling you who's joining us at 8:45. He destroyed this trade on our phone yesterday. We'll see if we're still tough talking out there. Coming up at 8:45, we'll tell you who at the end of Daryl's segment. He's brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Dangerous one, hello.
Hello, boys. Good morning.
What did you think, Daryl, of the big trade down last night?
It was interesting that Andrew Berry ended up doing exactly what I said back in January and early February.
Victory laps all over with everybody. Oh, my. Listen,
that was before I, but I acknowledge that was before I jumped on the Travis Hunter train. You know what? I think it was a smart day one of the draft. You guys make the point. I got some texts from friends of mine that are Browns fans who were not happy with what Andrew Berry did yesterday, passing up both Travis Hunter and Abdul Carter, who are thought to be blue chip talents to not only trade back and collect extra draft capital, but then to draft Mason Graham to put up on the defensive line alongside Myles Garrett there. So while the fans might not be crazy about it, what this does do is it gives the Browns the ammunition that they're going to need to go get their franchise quarterback next year, assuming that that player will be available in the 2026 NFL draft. So, and then even before the draft he began, he made the trade with Houston, where he basically flipped a couple of 6th-round picks and a 7th-round pick for a couple of 5th-rounders, both one this year and then one in 2027. So prioritizing getting better picks, accumulating more picks, as Berry said last night. They added to the sweet spot of this year's draft, and you guys just mentioned it too. They got 4 picks tonight. We'll see if they make them, but they should be able to get 4 pretty good players.
So, Daryl, it's weird because I'm like, okay, this is smart. This is paying off what you did with starting to pay off what you did. We're on a payment plan now with talent of right. The Deshaun Watson trade. It's smart, but boy, I'm going to deal with some pain here because there's no way I can sit here on a Monday morning after Travis Hunter has 112 yards receiving and a pass defense and a touchdown and, that ain't going to happen. So they gotta do well. But I did think this was the responsible move by a guy who a lot of us talk about whether or not he's even going to be here next year in Andrew Berry.
Yeah, well, and he stayed in the top 5 as well. It's not like he fell all the way back to, like 12, right? It's not like he did a deal with Dallas where you're all the way back to 12. He won that trade with Jacksonville, by the way. He got a lot more from the Jaguars than I thought he was going to be able to get for moving back. You get their first round pick next year. You get 5 overall. You get 36 overall in round 2. You end up basically swapping 4th round picks this year. I thought he did very, very good with that trade. Got to give him an A for that particular trade. I don't know. I'm not big into draft grades as far as the talent acquisition part. But as far as trades yesterday, I thought Andrew Berry did a really, really good job.
Daryl Ryder brought to you by Chabon Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Go ahead.
Do we care about Travis Hunter and how good he ends up being here, Daryl? How big of a component is that? I tried to tell Ken that I thought, look, if when all is said and done, we get our franchise quarterback next year, it doesn't matter about Travis. Right. So we had a slight disagreement. What do you think?
But yeah, I think that if you do get the franchise quarterback next year, 100% this was worth it. Because you're going nowhere without a franchise quarterback. Yeah, you might win some games, but you're not going to get anywhere. You are not going to get to the point that you want to get to and that your fans are dying for you to get to right now. So, and look, this, I think this was a tacit admission, too. I mentioned this on the podcast I recorded with Andy Baskin last night, of where they are roster-wise. They have a lot of holes, guys. They're not a contender. They're a 3-14 team. There's holes everywhere. They still need offensive line help. They need a running back. They need a tight end. Need receiver help. Need safety help. Might need corner help, depending on what they do with Greg Newsome here. Greg Newsome might not be a Brown by the end of the weekend.
I'd be surprised if he wasn't anymore. I got to tell you, Daryl, real quick, because, you know, I'm at the point, I still need him. He's not bad enough to just get rid of and trade. He's not good enough to sign long term.
Right.
And I think maybe I'd just rather have the compensatory pick in 2027 if he were to leave next year.
Yeah.
At the end of this year, I should say.
Yeah, I hear you there, Ken.
Yeah, sorry.
But I'm just throwing it. I mean, it is a real scenario, though. Like, Andrew Berry could move him this weekend. So if that happens, fans should not be shocked by that. Remember, they signed another corner earlier this week, too. And I'm not saying that they did that to replace Greg, but I'm just, keep that in the back of your head as far as, what's on the roster and whatnot.
True.
So. This was, in my view, an admission that they got holes to fill. They got 4 picks tonight in pretty good spots, especially 2 in the top of round 2 here. So I did like what Andrew said last night when he was kind of doing the math. And he's like, hey, we got X amount of picks now in the top 36 over the next 2 years, and we got X amount, I think it's 5 picks, he said, and then X amount of picks in the top 50, and that's opportunity to build a stronger team. Those were Andrew Berry's words, to build a stronger team. So I think, again, that's an admission. They don't have a real strong team now. They need some young talent, if you will, top talent, to infuse on this roster that's older, more expensive, and running out of salary cap space. Well, the way you correct that and give yourself an opportunity to compete is you get a lot of good quality young kids in here that can help you win football games.
All right, we got a chance. We're talking to Daryl Ryder, our Browns beat reporter, watching the camera that was mounted in Berea, and it certainly looked like you got smiles out of JW, you got smiles out of Andrew Berry, and Jimmy Haslam was there. Huge, huge smiles. Kevin Stefanski, that's not normally his thing, but he was very, very Kevin Stefanski-esque. So what we're ultimately wondering here is, does this mean job security for Andrew Berry, and what does it mean for Kevin Stefanski?
Well, I have said all along that ever since the owners' meetings and the Haslams made the comment about a potential multi-year process with the quarterback, Anthony, and basically a mulligan for the whole Deshaun Watson situation, that they were going to give Andrew at least 2 years to dig out of this thing. And I still believe that. Now, if something happens this year where, because the reason I say that, when you look at when the Browns have made changes, one of the driving forces behind those changes, not so much the losing on the field, it's the stuff that goes on behind the scenes in that building, okay? One thing you can say about this regime that you couldn't say about others is they do conduct themselves like grown men, okay? There are adults in the room. There's not backstabbing and infighting and the blame game and all those type of things going on. So I firmly believe that Andrew Berry's going to get two more years this year and next year to get this thing right and to find a quarterback. I don't think by any stretch of the imagination Kevin Stefanski enters the season on the hot seat. I think he and Tommy Rees and Musgrave, I think they're going to get an opportunity to develop some stuff here. And if they, I think they'll draft a quarterback at some point. I don't know they're going to do it at the top of the second round, but they're going to get an opportunity to try and maybe develop, Kenny Pickett and this whatever kid they end up drafting here. And then obviously once they really push the chips to the center of the table to get that franchise quarterback in the draft. But I don't feel like either one, Berry or Stefanski, go into the 2025 season with the seat high.
Well, wait a minute. What do you think that their record's going to be in 2025?
Right now, Ken, I think they're a 6 or 7 win team.
And then Andrew Berry's going to be back in 2026 is what you just said?
Yeah, I think he'll be back next year.
You're going to get comparisons to Trent Baalke very quickly. But
you know what? If we're going to criticize the Haslams for the previous constant changes and things like that, right?
Yeah.
I feel like you have to give them credit for... The easy thing to do is to fire people, right?
True.
And so I think you have to give them credit for acknowledging that, hey, everybody has a hand in the current situation that they're in, including ownership, including Andrew Berry. But let's exercise some patience, not make an emotional decision, and let's give the organization an opportunity to dig out from the mess that we all collectively created. So I'm going to go I understand what you're saying, Ken, and it's 100% valid. Just like the fans aren't happy with what happened last night. I got text messages from folks that were at the Journey concert and how the place was emptying out after they traded down and all that. I get it. But again, if we're going to criticize for things, I think we also have to give some credit for exercising some patience and executing a plan.
Shedeur Sanders, one of the other stories of the draft, the free fall, will it continue tonight? And should he still be on the Browns' radar?
Yeah, I would probably pass on him at this point, because I think if you take him, you're committing to him, right? I mean, regardless if you took him in the first round, the second round, you're committing to him. I don't know if you commit to, if you're the Browns, you're committing to him. I think the trade last night says no, because Andrew Berry says that he evaluates the draft on a 2-year cycle, and the cycle that he's on right now is 25-26. He obviously saw something that he really likes, that whether that's quarterback or something else. I think it's quarterback. I'm making an educated guess here, that he needed that extra first-round pick next year. Okay? So they're loaded for bear. They don't have to lose their way to the number one overall pick next year. They can go trade for it if they, assuming they can, have a dance partner, whoever ends up with that number one pick, right? They can be in position to do that. You trade the 2 first rounders next year. You throw in your 2027 first rounder. Throw in whatever you got to do. There is no price too big to pay for a franchise quarterback. I think we all understand that. So they're in position to be able to do that. They can have an honest season this year where they can try and win, do the best they can do. They don't have to lose their way into a top pick. But I just think that trade last night told me that they're kind of out on Shedeur and that they're going to go a mid-round route and take a kid that they intend to redshirt. I say Will Howard. That's my opinion. I think that's
Let's
the way you go this year.
Let's talk Will Howard, baby. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about, Daryl.
So, Daryl,
do you like the idea, Ken, or do you think I'm nuts?
I like Will Howard. Like Will Howard.
Well, what is the point? You're talking about a redshirt quarterback situation. What is the point of that if it looked like the deal that they made yesterday was to put them in the best possible position to take a first-round quarterback next year?
As far as taking a quarterback tonight or tomorrow?
Yeah, like what? Why have?
Well, because you're still throwing stuff against the wall, and hey, okay. you might get lightning in a bottle. That's what the Kenny Pickett trade was about. Also, getting rid of a player in DTR that you saw him for a couple of years. It's there, and you're ready to move on, right? So that's where they're at right now. You're just trying to hope to find something, anything, even if by accident. And then if that doesn't happen, well, next year you go into the draft ready to go to maneuver and get one of those quarterbacks.
So Will Howard's like a 67 or 94 2 year or something like that?
Yeah, I wouldn't have a problem if that's where you took him, Ken. I'm not going to give Andrew Berry any grief there. What I will say this, I'd like a running back tonight. I'd like a tight end tonight. I'd like an offensive lineman tonight. And again,
give me a name. Come on, name names here, Daryl. What about Luther Burden from Mizzou?
Yeah, I was going to say, I like the idea of either, I like Higgins as well. Noel intrigues me when you're talking
you
about
the You like Jaden Higgins out of Iowa State.
Intrigues me.
I'm wearing one of my Iowa State pieces of laundry right now. I bet you're surprised by that, yeah. Yeah.
Hey, both Buckeye running backs are still on the board, and you know my philosophy for starting today, best Buckeye on the board.
Oh, Daryl, you hear that tone? Best Buckeye on the board. Your thoughts?
Oh, I thought he was going to slip and say Kyle McCord. I didn't know.
Oh,
ex-Buckeye, maybe.
But yeah, you got Revel, Amos. I think Johnson is still there.
Caleb Johnson out of Iowa. Yeah, I'd like a running back sooner than later. Yes.
Yeah. So that's just my thing. That and if you ended up with a quarterback tonight, oh, okay. But I really want to see them use all four picks to fill some of these holes that they have.
I like Elijah Arroyo out of Miami. I know his medicals aren't necessarily the clearest, but I do like him.
Mason Taylor too.
Yeah.
I wouldn't
LSU.
Hate that pick.
Yeah. Nice tight end.
I wouldn't hate that pick either. So.
Daryl, we thank you so much for the time. All the best to you and yours.
You bet, guys. Have a great weekend. Enjoy the rest of the draft.
The ever-so-dangerous one, Daryl Ryder, who is pretty supportive of the trade down. That was Daryl Ryder, and coming up at 8:45, Hoyer! Brian Hoyer going to join us on the show. He did not like the trade. We'll see if he changed his mind overnight.
Yeah, sometimes, just being able to go to bed, wake up, and assess, and I do wonder what people like Brian, who's going to make a case, I do wonder the people that are crushing this move, how they feel about the fact that the rest of the NFL, which normally doesn't align with the Browns, the rest of the NFL, they've had many a draft where we've woken up to the Browns getting D's and F's, are almost universally giving the Browns a good grade. And you know, more specifically, who came out of nowhere to give the Browns an A and said they made the move of the draft? Folks, Joe Banner said the Browns stole the day. Remember,
well,
Joe Banner, he's got an axe to grind.
I changed my mind. This is going to be a disaster for us. You can say what you want to. It does make me question now.
Well, he normally crushes the Browns' moves.
Yeah, because he's a goofball.
So he's saying he could not believe, and it's a common refrain, he could not believe that Jacksonville did this for a wide receiver. And now it's funny. By the way, now that Hunter's been taken, now I'm seeing a lot of people that analyze the NFL say, well, he's still very raw. That wasn't what I was hearing a week ago. A week ago, I was hearing all of a sudden he became the best wide receiver prospect in the history of football.
He was generational over the last 3 weeks, and now it's like, I can't believe the Browns were going to take a wide receiver at number two. It's like, wait, hold on now. It's weird to agree with Joe Banner, I guess. I got to stand by my convictions here. By the way, can I just tell you, I think by maybe no moves of their own, Browns got closer to be the second best team in the division. Malachi Starks is really, really good. I put Baltimore as the best overall roster in the division. Okay? Where do you put the Steelers in comparison with us?
Well, it's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game. Like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way. With stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
And money!
monster shot.
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Well, I find it very interesting because I think it became this groupthink yesterday that the Steelers were going to take Shador. Remember, we were wondering, I was pressing you. I'm like, if you're the Browns, you got to get ahead when we thought... No. That, yeah. A month ago, Shador was in play.
And I said no, because I you know, it's crazy. Pony calls me, and Pony is in the same mode I think a lot of people are who disagree with the Browns trade down. I think there's a lot of instant gratification wanting to be entertaining me, and I got Bob sitting here telling me how unwatchable the team was last year. And I go, well, it is an entertainment business.
Mm-hmm.
Pony calls me last week. Who are they going to take? I go, well, I think Derek Harmon makes a lot of sense. He goes, yeah, Chris said the same thing. He goes, what do you think? I go, yeah, I think he makes, like, goes, great. Like, he was so over it already.
If you are in the prime of your life and you're like, I can't wait for Browns football this year, this isn't the most fun pick. It's probably one of the least fun picks. So an offensive lineman is the only thing that is less sexy than what the Browns did yesterday in getting a clogger up the middle.
Do you put the Steelers and the Browns on the same plane right now?
Oh, wait. Do you mean in like wins? Like, Steelers are going to win more games than us.
Sure.
What did they win last year?
I mean, right now they have Mason Rudolph and no second round pick. They got DK Metcalf.
Mm-hmm.
George Pickens unfollowed him on all social media. Now, probably since he got out of last night, I think George Pickens will probably be okay to stay there. I don't think it'll be okay to stay there, but I don't know if they're going to move on from him.
I mean, it would be really interesting if of all the years the Steelers are really bad, this is the year, and like they get a pick that's ahead of ours. You wouldn't want the Steelers to get the quarterback and us not to get the quarterback.
I mean, right now they have either Mason Rudolph or Skylar Thompson. Remember, I think he started, was it week 18 or was it a playoff game against the Bills for the Dolphins? And then you got Aaron Rodgers,
right,
who does it. Nobody knows what
nobody
that guy's going to want to do. I also think, boy, the Shamar Stewart pick by the Bengals made me scratch my head a little bit.
So he's a freak. I mean, he looks like Myles Garrett,
but
he does not play like Myles Garrett.
Like Siciliano and I were talking like on segment there, and I'm like, man, he runs to the wrong spot faster than anybody I've ever seen. He's a big win the drill guy. Now they've had a change of defensive coordinator there, which means there's a change a bit of the defensive staff as well. That's going to be a project there. And I think you're in a, hey, we got to get going right now mode. Certainly on offense, that's where they're at. But on the other side of this, it's like, oh, boy, that is a big, big, big thing. Because if he hits, he's going to hit. He is a freak.
It's a monster.
He is a freak. But, boy, he has no sense for where the ball is.
No feel.
Zero at all.
No instincts.
So I think the Browns are still not very good. But I still think I don't know what the Bengals did to separate themselves, and I think the Ravens are the class of the division. I think that they're the best roster.
And what'd you think of
the
them
division by far?
Safety at 20. Nobody drafts better at the end of the first round than they do.
Because you know what they do, and people go, "How does this happen?" This is what I beg to do, and I say this all the time because you know I'm a football guy. But no, this is what everybody needs to do. You can't let the combine and all the other stuff get to you too much. Don't let the bastards get you down. The Ravens, you ask anybody who knows the Ravens, they do all their evaluation, they do it all, and then it's basically, we're putting it all in the manila folder, and I don't care what the combine says. They'll interview some people, and that's it, but they don't really care as much about the combine as other people do. They know what they see on tape. They have good evaluators there. They've been doing it for a long time. They had a succession plan of what they did from Ozzie Newsome. So you have a football team that when they say, well, I can't believe all these other teams do these dumb things, like the Falcons going back into the first round, giving up a first round pick and taking James Pierce Jr., who really was not on a lot of people's boards at that moment. I got to tell you, that throws some people off because they're going to make some wild swings at it because they're all in. They let teams like that do that, and they go out and they continue to get better. That's what separates them from just about everybody else. And I think he'll end up being a good safety. He's going to be back there with Kyle Hamilton. And yeah, if I don't know. I wonder how much today changes had that secondary held on to a couple of those picks last year against the Browns. How much would this all change? Are we talking about Cam Ward this morning and everybody's talking about the future here? Because you and I, we didn't even get a chance to discuss whether or not we think Cam Ward's going to be good. Do you think Cam Ward's going to be good? And do you think he's going to be franchise changing?
You know, it's funny because earlier this year it was like, 1A, 1B, Shador and Cam Ward. Then a gap started developing and now it's a whole round. You got a guy that went number one overall who I also have people telling me he would have gone in the Bo Nix territory had this been a season ago. Guys, this always was a down draft. The reason we were elevating guys like Cam Ward, Travis Hunter, and Abdul Carter was because this was not the blue chip draft that we'd seen in previous years. It just wasn't. And I think the Browns kind of understood that and also understood, don't be delusional. Don't double down on an old, bad, expensive roster. Let's not think we're in position to win right this instant.
Tone, were you pro trade down?
I was.
Myself included.
It's never fun to be pro trade down, too.
Yeah, no.
It stinks.
No, it's not. You know who wasn't pro trade down?
Who's that?
Brian freaking Hoyer. Oh, boy.
Brian Hoyer, who had a whole neighborhood buzzing about his appearance.
You guys
at the Boston Marathon.
Yeah, we get it. You guys hang out.
Is that Brian Hoyer? I didn't realize
that's great.
What a legend Brian Hoyer is up in the Northeast.
That's awesome. You know, I hung out with Todd Philcox one time. You didn't hear me talking about it. Brian Hoyer joins us right now on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Hello, Brian.
Todd Philcox. That's not a name I've heard in a long time. Ken, you schedule a trip to Boston. I'll take you around. We'll get some seafood, some clam chowder. I'll show you the ropes.
Well, that's wonderful. I just want to go to all the places where they filmed Departed. Brian, you did not enjoy this trade down last night. I'm not going to say what you texted us because that's privy. However, you've had some time to sleep on it. How do you feel about it now?
I feel the same way. And look, I'll be the first person to say I think Mason Graham is a good player. But to have the opportunity to draft a player that's truly generational, and I heard you guys talking today, that this was not because of Browns propaganda that people were believing that Travis Hunter is a once-in-a-lifetime type player. I mean, it was a consensus from everybody I talked to. And last night I was covering the draft up here on NBC Sports with Albert Breer, which I know you guys talked to him too. And he was just, he was excited about the haul that the Browns got. But then when they took Mason Graham, you should have seen his face. I mean, it just to me is the biggest Browns, like, play it safe move. We're smarter than everybody else. We'll accumulate more picks. Yeah, we'll you know what? We're excited because we're excited about next year already. The season hasn't even started, and you guys are excited about a first-round pick next year. And to me, if you're going to do that, at least go ahead and draft Gentry. I mean, at least get a player who's worthy of a top-five pick. And I don't think Mason Graham's a bad player, but he's never going to be Aaron Donald. He's never going to be Jalen Carter. I mean, it's just the average fan is never going to see Mason Graham really impact a game next year.
Well, I got to tell you, though, where I disagree is I don't think it's the typical play it safe move from the Browns. I mean, good God, they gave up how much for Deshaun Watson? They went after Odell Beckham Jr. Like, this is a splashy football team here over the last 20 years.
Yeah, I agree with you on that as far as like the trades and stuff. But just to me in the draft, like when you have the opportunity to take what they do, swap fourth rounds, they got a second round, and they got next year's first. And to me, it's like it's almost like a statement saying, yeah, we're gonna play it safe. We got a D tackle. Everybody knows a good player, and hopefully next year why even draft a quarterback at this point? The rest of the draft, because now you're basically stockpiling draft picks for next year's quarterback class. I mean, that's how I read it. So I just don't know. I feel like for me, the goal is to win now. And you may say, well, they don't have the pieces around, but every team is going to try to go out there and try to win this year. Like, what's the point? Why even field a team? And you had an opportunity to make your team substantially better by adding just one player who can play two positions, and he will play two positions. And I just think it's odd that kid GM down there in Jacksonville, he comes from L.A. with the famous saying by Les Snead, like, F them picks. I mean, one of those philosophies won the Super Bowl a few years ago and has consistently been making playoff runs. And the other one just says, we're just going to make chess moves and act like we're smarter than everybody else. But we're sitting there with the number two pick this past year. And now we've just traded back to get a player that, honestly, if you're a fan, what is there to be excited about? He's gonna stop the run. I mean, Travis Hunter would have been scoring touchdowns, intercepting passes. I don't like it.
Brian Hoyer right now, napalming the entire organization.
Outrageous.
The Hoyer, the destroyer, this morning here, the day after the draft. All right, Brian, obviously you had come on a few weeks ago and you had said that you felt the Browns with Joe Flacco could make the playoffs. I would find their move yesterday to finally be an acknowledgement that they are in a hole, that they are, as the owner put it about a month ago, that they are still shoveling out of, that they don't think they're that close. I think for once they're not delusional about their state of affairs. So I think that's what drove a lot of this, is they just didn't feel that they were close. They know they're going to lose Wyatt Teller, Joel Bitonio, Conklin, Chubb's past his prime. You know, I think a lot of that might have factored in here.
I mean, I can see that now. I was kind of under the assumption when I said that they would be getting some kind of playmaker, whether it was Abdul Carter or Travis Hunter. But aren't they the ones that just said they're committed to winning by signing Myles Garrett back? Like, it wasn't about the money. It's a commitment to winning. He knows who the quarterback's going to be. Like, did they tell him it was Joe Flacco? And he's like, yeah, great. I'm excited about Joe, the 40-year-old quarterback. To me, it's like one of those things, like, sit back, act like you're smarter than everybody else. Yeah, we accumulated more picks. But, like, what does that mean? What message are you sending to your team by basically saying we're conceding? Like, those guys, that's their livelihood. They're going to go out there and try to play with pride, and the organization sends a message like, well, we're going to stockpile picks. That way we're in a good position to draft a quarterback next year. I mean, what other position are you stockpiling picks for the following year than quarterback? So the only way they can make this worse is to draft a quarterback in the next two rounds this year.
Well, what's
the point? Like, why get another first round pick unless you're sitting there saying we don't like the quarterbacks in this year's draft?
Well,
next
yeah.
year's a little bit more, let's say, plentiful of potential quarterbacks. Like, what are you going to do? So you can stockpile another first rounder for a skill player?
Brian, you could always take a project QB. A lot of teams will do that maybe a little bit later on, even third round. I still think that that's a possibility for him, and I probably would support it at this point here, because I think now that we're at the project level, it's, again, I brought it up, it's like children. It's you're seen and not heard, and I'd rather it be that way, where you see him at camp and that's about it. I think that for next year, I'd rather them, if you're playing for the Browns, I don't know. I think that if you're a player for the Browns, I think it's very easy to get very cynical about whether it be Shedeur Sanders or any one of these other QBs. Whereas you have Joe, and Joe Flacco, I think that he's getting a little bit older in age, and I don't know how long he's going to last this season. I think Joe would even tell you that in honesty, but I think he's a guy that they respect. I think that that brings a little bit of sanity back to the locker room, and then they are not paying attention to the other parts of the draft as much.
No, I agree with you. I think Joe Flacco will do a good job. He's a competent quarterback. He's a Super Bowl winning quarterback. He knows how to play the game. I guess my point is, you go draft, let's just say they draft a quarterback with this first pick in the second round. Like, how much is that guy going to play? How much are you going to be able to evaluate him? And let's just say you go, I don't know, 8-9, 7, whatever. You don't make it to the playoffs. The kid never played, and you're sitting there and saying, well, we got two first round picks. Yeah, we kind of like, let's just use Jalen Milroe's name, for example, or Shedeur, but he didn't really get a chance to play that much. Are we really going to put the franchise on this kid's shoulders? Are we going to now take this draft capital that we've accumulated and go ahead and trade up to draft the number one quarterback next year? To me, that's why you stock those picks, is because you're already saying that we're going to be in the quarterback market next year.
Brian Hoyer with us right now on the hotline. So,
but wait a minute. No, didn't the Rams do the same thing? I mean, aren't they going to be in the quarterback market next year? I mean, they have a veteran right now. What's that? What's the message send to their locker room?
The veteran that won the Super Bowl 3 years ago?
The veteran that won the Super Bowl 3 years ago, but a lot of those players are gone now. I mean, they got other guys.
They've had a philosophy. I think the Rams, and honestly, I remember covering them last year midseason. Everyone's like, they should just offload everybody. They're not going to do anything. Well, Matthew Stafford took them to the playoffs, and honestly, the only team that even gave the Eagles a run for their money were the Rams. And so Matt Stafford's still playing at an elite level. And so I think they go into it. Look, they're loading up. They went out and got Davante Adams. Like, to me, they have a unique philosophy, very different from the philosophy that I was brought up in with the Patriots, where you know, Bill would get rid of somebody a year or two before their prime because he didn't want to pay him. Whereas the Rams, I would ever say, since they went to go get Matthew Stafford, they're like, let's win now and we'll figure out about the rest later. And they kicked those contracts down the road. And you're right, a lot of those guys that were on the Super Bowl team no longer there. Odell, Bobby Wagner, but they keep reloading, and they've actually added some really good young talent over the past few years to go with the older players. And so to me, it's aggressive. It's taken a legit swing. And to me, it's like, would you rather have two at bats and out of those two at bats, you strike out once and hit a grand slam, or would you rather have six at bats and hit five singles and a walk? To me, it's just passing the buck and just hoping like, hey, maybe we'll get a few good players here, a few good players there, instead of just getting a great player.
What do we think of the Shedeur Sanders free fall yesterday? Now, it would appear that the NFL really didn't have a lot of first-round grades on Shedeur.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's what we were kind of always talking about on Tuesdays anyways. I said, look, it's not that I don't like Shedeur. I just don't, for the second pick overall, it makes zero sense. And I think that was even more validating last night. As I mean, look, did anyone think Jackson Dart was going to go ahead of Shedeur? The closer you got to the draft, the more you started to see people say that. And when I watched the film, I always felt like the one thing Jackson Dart did better than Shedeur was step up into the pocket. And in the NFL, unless you're an elite athlete like Lamar Jackson or, you know, some of these other Kyler Murray, Jaden Daniels, you have to be able to move up in the pocket to move out. You can't, the more you try to go out of the back of the pocket, Myles Garrett's too fast. I mean, the defensive end from Tennessee that was drafted last night, they were talking about him. He ran like a 4.4. There's no way Shedeur's going to get away from these guys. So you got to learn to step up into the pocket. A lot of people I talked to, you know, people say, oh, he was under pressure. Well, a lot of it was created by his bad pocket presence. And so I think people saw that. I think they see, you know, what comes with Shedeur. Look at, you know, he's got a party last night. He's got his own draft room. It's just, it's a lot of hoopla. And it's so contrasting to see Cam Ward. He's the number one pick. He's quiet. He's, you know, he's got a simple suit on. It's like, to me, clearly, everything that we had been talking about, the rest of the league saw. And so to this point, like if the Browns don't draft him at 33, I don't know where he's going to go. And I was kind of sitting there with Albert Breer last night. You know, he's connected. He's like, man, if Pittsburgh doesn't snag him here, like he's not going in the first round. And sure enough, he was right.
I wonder if Vegas could get him at 37.
Yeah, I mean, now it's going to be a value pick that as teams are going to say, maybe we don't need Shedeur this year. Maybe he can come in and learn. I think, you know, teams will eventually look. He's going to get drafted. I don't know where that's going to be. Do you think Cleveland's going to draft him tonight?
Well, I do not.
Well, no, but Brian, it's why I think we're going to end up trading out of 33.
You do?
Yeah, I think that Shedeur could be the 33rd pick. It just won't be the Browns.
It's interesting. Yeah.
Well, you've been right so far, Tone, so maybe you're going to be right again. Brian, we can't thank you enough for the time. It's a hell of a perspective. There's people, as always, it's polarizing. Brian, thank you so much, and we'll talk to you again next week.
All right, guys.